In our Science and Creativity series, we've been introducing you to people whose scientific lives and creative lives come together in interesting ways. Ed Belbruno is an astrophysicist who has a somewhat unusual career ambition. He wants to become a painter. Mike Lemonick has his story.
The first time I met Ed Belbruno, he made me a little bit nervous. I was walking down the street in Princeton, New Jersey, and he came up and introduced himself. That's not unusual. I'm a science journalist, and Princeton is full of scientists, so they tend to know who I am. But Ed was a little unkempt, unshaven. He told me he had worked with some of the most eminent astronomers on the planet. He also said he was a serious artist, and that's when I got nervous. It just all seemed a little too fishy to me.
I want to be clear in this interview that I am an artist. The only person I can think of who was doing simultaneous things like this and who was a really great artist, much better than what I'm doing, I'm sure, was Leonardo da Vinci. So that was an example of someone who I can relate to what he went of him.
I checked up on him, and Ed Belbruno was a painter. He has a picture hanging at NASA headquarters and another at the Metropolitan Opera House in New York. And scientifically, he was the real thing, too. So I started to wonder about Ed.
I got my PhD at Curran Institute in 1981 in the field of celestial mechanics from the mathematical point of view, with really no intentions of applying it to anything, just to prove math theorems.
Those math theorems got Belbruno a job with the famous Jet Propulsion Laboratory in Pasadena.
So when I got there, I found out that nobody had ever applied chaos theory to space travel. And the problem I got interested in is very easy to describe. If you look at the way Apollo got to the moon, or any spacecraft during the 1960s and 70s and 80s, early 80s, it's a direct shot. You basically go around the Earth and you zing off to the moon. You get there in 3 days. You're traveling like 20,000 miles an hour. And when you get to the moon, you got to slow down because you're going so fast. So you have to fire your engines and spend a lot of fuel to go into orbit. Otherwise, you fly by the moon. And I was intrigued by that problem because I said, well, geez, it's expensive to do that.
Ed had a better idea, or at least he thought it was better.
It's called weak stability boundary theory, and it has to do with chaotic motions in space. And NASA actually thought it was never going to work. And I lost my job in 1990 because of this. And 3 months later, as I was leaving JPL, I had the incredible good fortune to bail out, rescue a Japanese, failed the Japanese lunar mission to get its mother craft to the moon when it had no fuel, using one of these weird routes I found for my theory, and it worked.
This is not the plot of a movie. It really did work. He wrote a book about the episode called Fly Me to the Moon. But Ed's method wasn't perfect. It used barely any fuel, but it took much longer to get anywhere. Maybe 10 times longer. The niche he'd carved for himself was narrow. In 1991, he lost his job at JPL.
I basically felt I was ruined, you know. Had a condominium, I couldn't pay the mortgage, I broke out in hives, my girlfriend left me, I ran over a dog. I mean, it was the worst month of my life.
And that's when Ed started painting again.
Okay, I've been painting since 7 years old. Let me show you right now. The first painting I ever did, as a 7-year-old kid, I went out and bought oil paint, bought turpentine, and did a painting of the moon of Titan looking at Saturn. And this painting came out so good that I could probably use it in a gallery right now.
One day he saw a microwave image of the universe taken by an orbiting satellite.
And it looked like something like Jackson Pollock or de Kooning would do. However, I wasn't thinking about that. I said, that is the coolest looking thing I've ever seen. So I proceeded to paint it. And these are my own style, and no one is, in my mind, has ever done anything like this. People are just moved by them. The other day I showed a small one, maybe the size of a baseball card I did, to a woman in Minneapolis, and she started crying. She felt that little painting opened up the universe to her.
And that's enough for Ed. He's a painter, and his pictures move people. He doesn't need to do astronomy. Instead, he hung an exhibition at the Astronomy Building at Princeton. But once in a while, he still dabbles in science. A few years back, an astronomer named Richard Gott looked him up.
And Richard Gott describes me about a theory on the origin of the moon he had. The theory on the origin of the moon that we know of, that goes back to the 70s due to Apollo, says that a giant object smashed into the Earth and the moon splattered out.
Gott wanted to know where the giant object came from and how it hit the Earth. He and Ed co-authored a paper in 2005. As a result, NASA is redirecting a space probe to look for the giant object's birthplace. It could be a breakthrough.
I have felt like I've almost had no choice about the direction of my life, falling into the mathematics, falling into JPL, falling into these chaotic roots in space, falling into this theory of the origin of the moon, doing all these paintings.
Ed's own life seems like it's followed a pretty chaotic route. He doesn't have the clear trajectory of almost every scientist I've ever met. But it doesn't matter what it seems like to me. That's not how Ed sees it.
I feel like this is all destined. And it's a very peculiar feeling, because whenever I say to myself, I don't want to do this anymore, I want a break, something is thrown on my path to keep me going on it major. And so it's like I have no choice. That's all I wanted to say.
For Studio 360, I'm Mike Leminick.
Some of Ed Belbruno's paintings are on display at Princeton University, and you can see images of a few of them at studio360.org.